and send it to Mansión Inglés.
Craig, if you don't know the address, nobody does.
I've gone blank. And welcome to episode 30 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Si estás escuchando por la primera vez este podcast, intentamos aquí mejorar tu inglés, tu vocabulario, gramática, la pronunciación y subirlo al siguiente nivel. Here I am with my good friend Reza. Hi, Reza.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fit as a fiddle.
Fit as a fiddle. That's a nice idiom. We should use that in our idiom section this month. Fit as a fiddle. So you're very fit, you're very well, you're very happy.
Happy, optimistic, feeling good. Fit as a fiddle.
So let's start this week with our content. And we have some feedback, actually two pieces of feedback from one of our favourite fans, Marian. Marian says, "Hi, although I can't understand anything..." Your guests are saying... Sorry, I'll start that again. "Hi, although I can't understand anything your guests are saying here, I enjoy myself listening this podcast." Mistake there, Reza.
Listening to.
Yeah, remember, Marian, listening to your podcast. And Marian must be speaking about the podcast we did with our guests, Becky and Marissa.
Yes.
So that was a bit difficult.
It was a hard one to understand, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? What we've decided to do in the future is have fewer of these general speaking, listening practice podcasts and focus more perhaps on vocabulary when we have guests on the show, or grammar if they're English teachers. So Marian continues, "It's an extraordinary listening exercise." Thank you.
Thanks.
"Very happy for listening about George Orwell, the writer I admire a lot. In the Spanish Civil War, he came to my village, Monzón, to have his injuries cured in the hospital, an ancient building of the 13th century, and I'm very proud for that. Cheerio, Marian." So you like George Orwell, don't
Yes,
you?
Marian, I'm a big fan of George Orwell myself, and I know that he fought in the Spanish Civil War and that he spent a lot of his time in Aragon. In fact, I think I've also been through your village. I've spent some time in Huesca, and I spent a lot of time in Teruel. So a big hello to everybody from Aragon. I really like the Mañicos. And a particularly big hello to everybody in Theia. ¿Qué tal la fuente? How's the fountain in Theia doing? You might not know what I'm talking about, Craig, but it's a tradition in a village called Theia, where I spent a lot of time in Teruel, to ask about the fountain. They have a beautiful fountain there.
Why would you ask about
Because
the
level of the water keeps changing in the fountain. So, toda la gente en Theia, ¿qué tal la fuente? Bien. Saludos para todos.
Huesca's beautiful. I remember going to Huesca.
Oh, yeah.
It's an amazing part of Spain. So if you come to Spain, or if you live in Spain and you haven't been to Huesca and that area, then you definitely should go
Beautiful.
And see the scenery and lovely people and lovely food in that part of Spain.
Yeah.
And
lovely wine. Marianne, am I right in saying that Somontano wine comes from your area? Somontano, I believe. Nice red wine. You should try it.
Is that red wine or white?
Red wine. Well, mostly red. Mm-hmm. Somontano. Very good. I think the main area for the wine production is Barbastro, isn't that right? And I think George Orwell also spent quite a lot of time there when he wasn't fighting on the front. So a very interesting part of the world with a lot of history and lots of things to do. Thanks, Marianne.
And Marianne continues because she sent us an audio file. So here's Marianne speaking to us.
"Hi, I'm Marianne. I'm from Monzón, a small town in the northeast of Spain. I am a primary teacher, and I want to improve my English. I especially need to improve my listening, so your podcasts are an excellent way to do it. Both of you are very friendly. I completely agree with the girl who said that your voices are nice. Thanks for staying there. Bye-bye."
So that's Marianne. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Marianne, for sending us your voice on an MP3 file. And if anybody else would like to be on our podcast, just record your voice, send us a message, ask us a question, and send it to Mansion Inglés.
Craig, if you don't know the address, nobody does.
I've gone blank. And send it to craig@inglespodcast.com. That's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, @inglespodcast.com. Our final piece of feedback this week is from Jose. I don't know where Jose is from, but he says, "Hello, Reza and Craig. I'm improving my English day by day. This podcast is very interesting, as all others. The previous of this one was a bit hard to understand." I think that's probably our conversation again with Melissa and Becky. "But the extensive show notes were very useful." So remember, listeners, you can read along with listening to the podcast by using our show notes at www.inglespodcast.com. Jose continues, "One correction, if I can. El refrán correcto es de perdidos al río." So we got that wrong. I can't remember. Probably my mistake. I probably messed up that expression in Spanish. But de perdidos al río was in inglés. Do you remember?
In for a penny, in for a pound.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah. I think we forgot the word de in Spanish. We just said perdidos al río, but it's de perdidos al río.
Okay. So thanks for the correction, José. Una pregunta. ¿Cómo puede Bea hablar ese inglés tan correcto? Did she live in England many years? Well, yes, she did live in England for many years, and you can see an interview with our friend Bea, if you're interested to know more about her, on YouTube. And the link to the video is in the show notes. And if you want to search YouTube, search for Coffee with Craig and Bea. And we'll put the link in the show notes for you also. What do we have for grammar this week, Reza?
Conditional sentences.
Again?
Well, that's right, Craig. Some listeners may recall in episode 11, we talked about the first and the second conditional.
That's right.
Let me just refresh people's memories a bit before we move on to the third conditional. Mm-hmm. But let's do a little bit of revision, first of all. So, let me give an example of the first conditional. Listeners, if you read a lot in English and listen to these podcasts, your level will improve.
That's the first conditional with will.
Yep, because I use the present simple with if you read a lot in English and if you listen to these podcasts, the result will be your level will improve. Will improve. So we have if with the present simple is the condition, read and listen. And the result, your level will improve.
So that's a definite strong possibility that your English will improve if you listen to the podcast.
Exactly. First conditional, real possible result. And the grammar is if plus the present simple is the condition. And the result or consequence is with will. As I said, if you go back to episode 11, you can revise this. Now let's quickly revise the second conditional. Again, you can see it in episode 11, but just a quick reminder before we move on to the third. So here we go, the second conditional. Albert Einstein, the famous scientist, said, "If bees disappeared, the human race would die out." Disappear, also. Mm-hmm. Disappear is desaparecer. And die out is similar, extinguirse. So I'll repeat that. Albert Einstein said, "If bees disappeared..." That's past simple. Disappeared. "The human race would die out also." Would die out also. That's would plus infinitive without to die.
And that's more of a hypothetical meaning, isn't it?
That's right. So the second conditional is to speculate, to imagine, to hypothesize about things which are not real or unlikely, or just merely we're imagining it. So it's not as real as the first conditional. Yeah? So the second conditional is unreal or less likely things. And the grammar is if plus the past simple is the condition. And the result is would plus infinitive without to. Remember, of course, that we can reverse the order. I could begin with the result and end with the condition. So I could say the human race would die out if bees disappeared, Albert Einstein said.
But then you remove the comma. If you have the if clause first, you have a comma.
That's right.
If clause. If you reverse it, then there's no comma.
If you begin with if, put a comma in the middle. If is in the middle, no comma.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, yeah. By the way, very interesting thought from Einstein, isn't it? He really did say that. I happen to think he's true.
I think bees are disappearing, aren't
they? And they are disappearing. I don't want to alarm you, listeners, but bees are disappearing. And Einstein did say that, and he was no fool.
Oh, no.
Watch after your bees. Look after your bees.
Be careful of your bees.
Okay. Now.
Before you move on, just let me remind listeners that that's episode 11, and I will put a link to episode 11 if you want more information on the first and second conditionals in the show notes at inglespodcast.com.
Okay, so that was first and second conditional. Now, on to the new grammar, which is the third conditional. The third conditional is to talk about the past. Let me give you an example. I'll ask you a question, Craig.
Go ahead.
Craig, if you had decided to emigrate to a different country, not Spain, where would you have gone?
Ooh, that's a good question. I really like New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have had to learn a new language because they speak English there. So if I had not come here, I think I possibly would have gone to New Zealand. What about you?
Possibly New Zealand as well, yeah.
Really?
I really like the New Zealand or Australia, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of Australasia.
Me too.
Part of the world.
It's very far there.
I'll say.
The other side of the world.
Haven't you got plans to go to Australia soon?
I have, and I hope I will be visiting a good friend of mine who lives in Sydney. So if everything goes well this year, in fact, I hope to be visiting my good friend Pat and Graham, my good friends in Australia.
Oh, lucky you. But back to the third conditional. So let me just repeat what I said to Craig. I said, if you had decided, that's a past perfect, had decided to emigrate to a different country, not Spain, where would you have gone?
That's quite complicated.
Would you have gone?
Isn't it?
It's not really. It's would plus have plus past participle, gone. Would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
That is the grammar necessary for the third conditional. So if goes with the past perfect, and that's the condition.
If you had.
If you had decided in this case. And then the consequence or result is would have plus past participle, would have gone in this case. When do we use the third conditional? Well, the third conditional is to talk about the past. The past. Because as you know, listeners, Craig in reality emigrated to Spain. He didn't go to Australia or New Zealand. So the third conditional is to speculate about how the past might have been different, but it's too late to change it now. We're just imagining, speculating, hypothesizing about how the past might have been different.
So, for example, if I say a fact about my past, for example, I came to Spain in 1997, that's a fact.
Yep.
Past simple.
That's just.
If I want to hypothesize and imagine a different past, I would use the third condition and I would say, for example, if I hadn't come to Spain in 1997, I might have gone to live in a different country. I might have stayed in the UK.
Yeah. And interesting, instead of using would there, Craig's using might, which you can do. You can substitute the word would for might.
And could as well.
And could. Might equals the same as could. That is if the condition is not certain. Again, we talked about this in episode 11. You can revise it there. Instead of the word would, if you use could or might, instead of would, it means that the result is not certain. For example, if Craig had not come to Spain, he might have gone to New Zealand. But he might have gone to Australia. We don't know for certain. So the word might can be used instead of would. Here's another one. My parents, this is true by the way, my parents would have called me Victoria if I had been born a girl. That is true. Yes, my name is Reza, but if, imagining the past, if it were different, if I had been born a girl, my parents would have called me Victoria.
That's
they would have called me Victoria, that is true.
Vicky.
Can you imagine? Quite a difference between Reza and Victoria.
There is.
What about you, Craig? If you had been born a girl, do you know what your parents would have called you?
I don't, but I do know that they were trying to decide between Craig and Colin. And it was very, very close. It was 50-50. So I was nearly named Colin, which I prefer, actually. Mm-hmm. Craig's not a very common name. I usually have to spell it here in Spain. Colin's more common. I like Colin. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Vicky.
All right. I just wanted to point something out there. I said my parents would have called me Victoria if I had been born a girl. I'm using the long forms there of had and would. But of course, we can contract the word had to apostrophe D, and we can also contract the word would to apostrophe D. It's just coincidence that the contraction of had and would looks the same, apostrophe D. But don't confuse them. If I say to you, my parents, but instead of saying my parents, I say they'd have called me Victoria if I'd been born a girl. The first apostrophe D, they'd, is they would. Mm-hmm. And the second apostrophe D, I'd been born a girl, is I had. And quite often you get them both appearing in either part, the condition and the result of a third conditional sentence. But one is had and the other is would.
And one point of the pronunciation, the contraction apostrophe D and followed by have is often pronounced by native speakers not as I'd have, but I'd have. It's very weak.
I'd have. Yeah.
Not I'd have been called, but I'd have been. I'd have been called. That's very difficult to understand for foreign learners of English. I'd have. You'd have. We'd have. We'd have.
Yep. I guess a lot of our listeners were watching the World Cup. We're recording this just the day after Germany have won. We're very sorry for our Argentinian listeners.
Yeah, I was hoping Argentina would win.
Me too. We wanted Argentina to win.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Germany did. But you know what? I think Holland were also a good team. So here's a sentence with a third conditional. If Argentina hadn't beaten Holland in the semi-final, Holland might have won the World Cup.
They might have done.
They might have beaten Germany. They were a good team as well. But Argentina beat Holland in the semi-final, as we know, and then were beaten by Germany. But I thought the Dutch, that's Hollandaise, Dutch from Holland, I thought they were very good as well. I used the word might because I'm uncertain. I said if Argentina hadn't beaten Holland in the semi-final, Holland might have, they might have won. But I can't say they would have won because Germany are good, eh? They might have won. By the way, I can spell might have in informal English, M-I-G-H-T apostrophe V-E, might have.
Might have.
Won.
They might have won.
Might have, might have.
And if England hadn't been knocked out, if England hadn't gone home early, they might have been in the final.
Yes, I think they were a strong team.
And pigs might fly, as we
No, no, I think they were good, Craig. Don't be too hard on yourselves. The English. Don't forget, listeners, I'm not English, eh? I'm not English. You can call me British if you like, but not English.
You might have been English if England had won the World Cup.
No. I'd have been glad, but I'm not English. I'm from Belfast. I'll leave you with one more third conditional, listeners. I hope you don't have to ponder this too much someday. Many people think if they'd studied more, they'd have got a better job, but they were lazy and they didn't study. And they didn't get a good job. Listeners, study English.
Very important.
Study English. I hope you never have to say this someday. Oh, if I had studied more, I would have got a better job. No. Study. study, read in English, and listening to Aprender Inglés con Rezu y Craig as much as you possibly can.
If only I had listened to Rezu and Craig more, which, by the way, if only, I wish, we're going to speak about in our next episode. Well, this week on Vocabulary Corner, I thought we'd look at some conversation expressions. You know, sometimes you might be in a conversation with a native speaker, with an English speaker, and you're not quite sure what to say in reply to some questions or comments. And that I've seen that sometimes with my students. They'll come in the class, I'll say, "How are you?" And they'll say, "I'm fine, how are you?" And I'll ask them something, and even though they're like intermediate level or above, they're not really sure what to say. So I thought it might be useful to look at some of these common questions and comments. For example, let me ask you something, Reza, and just tell me how many different ways you can think of to answer and reply to these questions and statements. How are you?
Fine. Not too bad. Good, as Americans would say.
I'm good, yeah.
I'm good. So-so?
What's so-so mean?
Not too bad, not too good. Okay.
Can't complain. That's a very British...
Can't complain.
Can't complain.
Yeah.
Could be better.
I've been better.
I've been better.
A bit under the weather.
Under the weather. That's a
under the weather. Whether it's sunny, rainy, whatever the weather is.
Soy bajo del tiempo. Under the weather.
Not too good.
Yeah, the English are very downbeat, very negative, almost pessimistic sometimes when they answer how they are. Americans are much more positive,
optimistic.
Good. I'm good. I'm awesome. Fantastic, man. How are you? Okay. What about where are you from?
Can't think of many ways to answer that except I'm from Belfast.
I'm from Belfast. You could just say Belfast. And you? You could use your nationality. You could say I'm English. Or I'm from England.
Yeah, people do that sometimes. They use the adjective, I'm English, rather than saying I'm from England.
Yeah, but not many possibilities there. Would you like some more pizza?
No, I'm fine, thanks. If I don't want any.
Yeah.
Or I could say, oh yes, thanks very much, if I want some.
That's very kind of you.
Very kind of you. What about a slightly old-fashioned one, but I like it, an English one? Don't mind if I do.
Don't mind if I do, sir. Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, it means yes, I will. Thank you very much for asking.
That happens often in English also where you omit the pronoun. You would not necessarily say, I don't mind if I do. Just, don't mind if I do. Don't mind if I do. How was your flight? ¿Cómo fue tu vuelo?
What could you say? There were no delays.
There were no delays.
Yeah, all right. It ran on time. If something runs on time, it's not run in the sense of correr in Spanish. It just means the timetable was followed. It ran on time.
He could say, fine, it was very nice. It was very nice is a very common way to reply to many questions. How was the meal? Oh, it was very nice. How was the flight? Oh, it was very nice, thank you.
It doesn't give too much away, does it? It's just slightly positive, but without being very enthusiastic.
And nice is quite a British expression. I don't think Americans, in American English, they'd say nice. I don't know what they'd say.
They might say, oh, it was very pleasant.
It was very pleasant. It was good. Yeah. Did you like the film?
Yes, it was terrific. Or no, it was a load of rubbish.
It was lousy.
Lousy, that's very American, isn't it?
How'd you say lousy in Spanish? Malísimo.
Malísimo, yo.
Yeah.
Or it was not bad would be a very British answer. It was not bad. Wasn't bad.
You could also use the auxiliary verb to answer these questions. For example, did you like the film? Yes, I did. Or no, I didn't. And the previous one, would you like some more pizza? Yes, I would, thanks. Or no, I wouldn't. So you can repeat the auxiliary verb to make a short form answer. One more, finally. Sometimes you're in a strange bar or a restaurant or a cafe and there's an empty chair and you want to sit down and somebody says to you, or you say to somebody, is anyone sitting here?
Well, depending on the situation, you could say, no, it's free. Or the opposite, yes, it's taken.
You'd say it's taken. You wouldn't say it's busy, would you? Está ocupado.
I wouldn't say that, no. I say it's taken.
It's taken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone sitting here.
Yes, we say that even though the person isn't actually sitting there at the moment.
Yeah.
But we mean very soon they'll be back.
It happened yesterday in the pub when we were watching the game.
That's right.
And someone tried to take the chair. And so someone's sitting there. It's taken.
It's taken. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, moving on to idioms. We have some more idioms for you in our idiom section. And what's your first idiom this episode, Reza?
Food for thought.
Food for thought. Well, I know you like your food. Is that mm-hmm. why you like this particular idiom?
Possibly, yeah.
So what does it mean?
Well, I'll give you an example. Do you remember when we were talking about conditionals?
I do.
And I said, I quoted Albert Einstein, who said, if bees disappeared, the human race would also disappear. For me, that's food for thought.
You mean it's something to think about?
Yeah, it's something very profound that you could spend a long time thinking about. Dar para pensar, in Spanish.
Dar para pensar.
Food for thought.
Can you think of another example?
Yes, that human beings have been on the earth several thousand years, possibly tens of thousands. Yeah, but that's nothing in the history of Earth.
It isn't, is it?
Earth's been around for millions of years without human beings.
Do you know something? That's food for thought.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I have one. A change is as good as a rest, which I think in Spanish means con un cambio de actividad se renuevan las energías. For example, if I always teach the same English class and I start teaching a different level or a different class, I feel refreshed. I've changed something. A change is as good as a rest.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've got another one sticking with bees. I've got a bit of a bee obsession today.
You've got a bee in your bonnet,
haven't
you?
I've got a bee in my bonnet, isn't it? It's a good expression. Yeah. A bee in your bonnet means you've got an obsession, or you're a bit angry, or you're very sensitive about something, yeah? Mm-hmm. A bonnet is like a type of hat. Staying with bees then. The bee's knees.
The bee's knees.
Now, you shouldn't translate that literally. Las rodillas de las abejas. No. It doesn't mean that. The bee's knees means lo mejor de lo mejor.
Something very good.
El más guay.
Yeah, very tasty.
The best there is. It's the best. There's no better.
Good quality.
Really good stuff. El más guay.
Do you think it comes from, because I've heard the expression, especially in London, it's the business, meaning the same. It's very good, it's wonderful, very good quality, the best, or mejor que hay.
Yeah.
Maybe the business has evolved to the bee's knees.
Yeah, and am I allowed to say the dog's or are the you dogs, going to be editing this out?
I'll beep that, but you can say the dog's private parts.
Yes, private parts between its legs.
Genitalia.
Yeah, that's another expression which means the same as the bee's knees, the best. Doesn't sound like it would be a positive thing, but it is. It's positive to say the dog's beep.
Well, it's the most valuable thing to a dog. It's something a dog would want to lose.
Yeah, something to be cherished.
Something to be kept.
I got one more bee one, and then I'll let you get on with yours, Craig. Buzz off.
Buzz off.
It's an expression which means go away.
Go away.
Yeah. Spanish, largarse. Someone's annoying you and you say, buzz off.
Lárgate.
Lárgate. Like a bee, fly away.
Go away, which is a polite form of F off.
Yes, we definitely can't say that.
We can't say because this is a family podcast.
So if you want to be more family friendly, instead of saying the F word, say buzz off.
Buzz off, go away.
By the way, it's a phrasal verb, you probably guessed as well. It's an idiomatic phrasal verb.
Right.
Buzz off.
Speaking of animals, a leopard can't change its spots.
Mm-hmm.
Leopardo no puede cambiar sus spots.
Sus
marcas?
Sus marcas, I don't know, spots?
Not sus granos, no.
No, sus manchas.
Sus manchas.
No, that's not the word. We don't know the word for spots. We don't know.
I'll check it. I'll put it in the show notes. So it means you cannot change who you are. You are who you are. Quien nace burro muere rebuznando. Mm-hmm. Rebuznar in English is to bray like a donkey. Something like that. So my dad has always been and will always be very stubborn, tozudo. A leopard can't change its spots. You are who you are and that's it. Do you believe that? Or do you believe people can change?
I think they can change a bit, but not completely. Mm-hmm. Is it time we buzzed off?
I think it's time we buzzed off and left you until we come back in our next episode, episode 31. So from Reza and I, thank you very much for listening. Remember, please send us an email or a sound file, un mensaje de voz en MP3, with a comment or a question. And send your comments and questions to craig@inglespodcast.com or belfastreza, todo junto, belfastreza@gmail.com. Y si tenéis tiempo y ganas, puedes darnos algunas estrellas en un corto resumen, reseña, en iTunes. So, until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And bzzz.
From me.
You're supposed to say it's goodbye from him. So, until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Buzz off. See you next time. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.